How are you, Christopher?
All right, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm excited for this. What?
Yeah, there's a big storm going overhead, so you might hear thunder and lightning.
Oh, wait, you have thunder and lightning right now?
Yes, it's flashing.
Ooh, so you might even lose your power, dude.
I might lose my wheat.
My wheat. Well, you know what? Don't go out there and grab a handful of it. Look up into the sky. And you know what? I'm going to just play this a very appropriate clip right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't do that.
Not only that, but Charles starts counting his chickens.
Oh.
Before the chickens were harvested.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
Threshered or whatever it is that you do to wheat.
First off, let us just say what the name of the episode is. It's 100 Mile Walk, and this is the third episode in the entire series.
Is it the third? Okay, I thought it was the second.
I thought it was the second as well. Then when I went to go look at my server, which I don't have up right now, it is listed as the third. I believe the first one was a two. Well, now I'm confused. Is it the second or the third? Now, this is why. This is a question that I believe Christopher Cooling would have the answer to. Chris Cooling is, of course, going to be a part of our a future bunch of episodes. And I have the answer right now. So here we go. So Little House on the Prairie is considered Season 1, Episode 0. And I'm not sure if I ever saw this one.
That's probably that two-hour premiere that I mentioned in our prior episode.
Harvest of Friends, which everybody seems to be in love with.
We also did that episode. Check our archives.
But then Episode 2 is Country Girls.
Country Girls.
You know, that's the one where their skirt's a little short and Nelly goes, Country Girls.
Country Trash.
Yeah, exactly. And then I believe Mom makes them both those beautiful blue dresses instead of making herself one beautiful blue dress.
It's coming back.
So 100 Mile Walk, it aired on the 25th of September 1974.
It's directed by Little House perennial William Claxton.
Oh.
Who's done lots of Little House episodes. He's a recurring name. He also directed Night of the Lepus. I just want to throw that out there.
There's a lot of guest stars. Maybe not stars, but a lot of outsiders were in this episode.
And here again is one of the tropes of the series, which is if you guest star on a Little House and you're somehow involved with Charles, you're going to get hurt.
It couldn't be more true.
Or
I mean, the sure sign of death, as, you know, I did watch the Blizzard episode, and, you know, you brought in a non-recurring character, and
it's the red shirts. It's the red shirts all over again.
So you're right. Like, so he was basically adding together the amount of money he was going to make. And did you expect him to be able to make that much money back then?
For the wheat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was talking in the thousands.
75 cents a bushel, right? Why don't we play that clip so that we could get the figures, and then just listen to Charles, like, start spending the money right away. No thought about putting it into the bank.
He just takes that match out, lights that pipe, and starts dreaming of a new frontier.
And he's like, new dresses for my girls, new shoes for me. Oh, my, you can have some new pots and pans.
That new Apple TV. I'm going to play this now. One of the things I want to tell our listeners before we go on is Christopher is usually the king. Actually, not even usually. He's always the king of clips. Now, you had to use a different method to watch this.
Yes, I had some computer difficulties.
Right. So it's called vacation.
Dope.
And the problem is we have clips, but we don't have the proper time. So I'm kind of guesstimating. So I'm going to see if this works out. Here we go.
Now, 100. and it ought to yield about, 35 bushels to the acre. Thank you. And right now, wheat's selling for just around 75 cents a bushel. How much money is that?
I can't do that math.
Well, if you had a pencil and a slate. Actually, they're not using slates. They're using tablets.
I've got it. So have I. $2,625.
Well, $2,600 is a lot of money back
in,
then.
In 18...
like in the 1870s, right? Or 1860s, whenever yep. this was. I mean, in a future episode, I'm not going to really ruin it for anyone why I know this. I don't know if you got to this particular episode where they were going to buy a cast iron oven. Do you remember this?
I did, and then...
It was $7.
Right, right.
For the oven. $7. And it came in a big crate, like everything, you know, it was, and with free shipping, you know, so $2,600, I mean, you could, I don't know. So let's finish this clip up. Sorry.
Right.
It's almost too wonderful to be true. Do you know what that will mean for us?
Well, new dresses for my girls to start with. Nice warm coat for you. Curtains for the windows.
Boots for you. The very first nickel we spend goes on boots.
What's the matter with these? You're just starting to get comfortable on me.
You're not going to be laughing in about 6 hours.
I was afraid one morning you were going to pull them up and they'd slide clear up to your knees.
Come on, let's make a list. Everything we need. Start right out with dresses for you girls.
Shoes for everyone, that's a must.
All right, shoes. Curtains for the windows. Got that?
Yes, Pa. Not so fast.
Ma needs some new dishes, and I'm riding down a rocking horse for Carrie.
A rocking horse for Carrie. You know, that reminded me of something that just popped clean out of my head.
What is it?
You come with me, and I'll show you. Come on, everybody.
That bass line.
Please.
You hear that bass line, man?
Oh, Charles.
It's two horses.
Pa. Horses.
Two stallions.
Look at
them,
Mary.
Girls.
What a surprise. Boy, aren't they pretty.
Be careful. They get to know you a little bit.
You know, I was just thinking, maybe this may be a little insensitive, but it's kind of like with podcasts. When we have the visual, it's almost like we're explaining what we're seeing to Mary. Right? I mean...
Yes.
Like, I'm like, there's two horses, you know, and I mean... Of course, Laura said that, but at the same time, I'm just thinking, you know, well, somebody would have to tell her, right? Two horses, Mary.
She's not blind yet.
No, not yet.
Oh, I see.
The scarlet fever hasn't kicked in.
So, right away, now, this show is full of foreboding. Like, anytime, we know that the crop is, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we know that the yeah. Ingalls are destined to be living in poverty. But now they bring these beautiful horses on, so I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get killed.
And they're really nice horses.
And they're really nice horses, so they're going to get killed. Every time somebody new pops up in this thing, animal or otherwise, I'm like, they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Dead meat.
It's never Carrie.
It's
Carrie's always just being held. For like 18 years, she's being held. I don't get it. But, you know, as soon as you start seeing, like, the Ingalls like start having any level of success, you know,
right?
Tragedy is about to happen.
And I'm glad there is an episode later where Charles renounces his faith in God because all this shit keeps happening to him, and he's like,
right.
"Why?" But we'll get there. Not this episode.
No, that'll be a whole like season of episodes. I'm trying to just kind of figure out the next clip, but I don't. All right, so this is where Charles is a little bit worried about a storm that's approaching. And,
even
you know...
Even the dog gets scared.
I got a little scared because I'm thinking, So you're saying your entire harvest, I mean, is in case one storm comes by, it's ruined. I mean, how is that possible?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I was wondering because it hails in this, and I'm wondering maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, I think it was.
Although, did Charles know it was going to hail when he starts seeing the storm approaching? And because he looked awfully worried.
Why didn't he just harvest the day before?
I know. Why or does it take a long time? His money, and does he have a, what do you need, a thresher to do that?
No, I think they have a machine that basically pulls
somehow
it
rips
up.
It, yeah, rips it out of the ground or something.
But here's the link where Charles, the clip where Charles is discussing the impending storm. Pretty quiet moment.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just a little rain. We can use it.
What about the wheat?
That's real good for the wheat. How's it standing? Soak it real good.
Lying motherfucker.
Took a little fire there. We'll just make you some coffee.
I get it.
I've never seen Charles make coffee before, by the way.
Was there a fire in there?
Come on,
it looked to me like there was no fire.
It was a small fire.
Okay.
Really coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Could use some rain. As long as it doesn't soak that field so much, we can't get Mr. Hess's new Reaper in there.
The Reaper, that's what it is.
It's got a new McCormick Reaper. I tell you about it?
Yes.
That's a fine machine.
Is that the clip or is that over near you?
You know, that thunder sound effect, I think that was borrowed for Amityville 2, The Possession.
It sounds just
like Amityville 3.
It's a real vicious one, right?
Yes.
If you notice, the little ping pong sounds are hail. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, we'll lower it a little. Sounds like a Geiger counter. And this is after the storm. Charles comes in.
Soaked to the skin.
Oh, everything must be fine.
Got pretty cold out there, I tell you.
Seems like he's in good spirits.
Coffee's gonna taste good.
I would just simply say to him, you're going to kill us now, aren't you? Like, he's snapped. This is the face of a man who's snapped.
Looks like the storm's about over. Wheat's gone. to be solemn about, I guess you might say that we're back where we started.
Well,
he takes it awfully well.
Yeah, he does.
I know he's being strong for his family.
Now, did you have you seen the episode where he uproots his whole family to go for gold?
No.
No.
I don't think so. To go for gold?
Yeah, they go. But it's I'm gonna say season four.
We've been through season four, but I don't remember that.
It was like a two-parter or something like that. We'll look it up. It'll come. We'll have more than enough episodes to cover it all.
Let me guess. He doesn't find any.
He's about to give up on it, and then he finds something, from what I understand. It's on my TiVo. The good thing is that the Hallmark Channel. Do you get the Hallmark Channel?
I do.
I'm on my TiVo. I have a season pass, so it records two episodes a day, and it plays them chronologically.
The thing is,
it's all soft focus. It's all, like, really, you know, I really want a better quality image. And, speaking of which, before we get off the line tonight, Chris, I know you're going to be a little bit somewhere close to me, in the next week, and I still have this TiVo, so maybe we could even just remind me to bring that up to you at the end of this call.
Okay. I will do.
Because I do have that TiVo for you. Anyway, so Charles basically, the whole, you know, it's gone. And that's it.
Or is it? We'll talk about that in a sec. But first, Charles has to leave home. He's got to go find work now, and he's got to go hoof it.
Right.
On the titular 100-mile walk.
Now, all the farmers around, they all got the same hailstorm. Everybody's crop was basically pummeled. So everybody's basically going for work, right?
Yep.
I'm looking for your clip exactly. I'm a little bit lost here.
About 11:53 in that area where we get introduced to the first guy Pa meets on his long walk.
Okay.
His name is Jack Peters, and we're going to be introduced as he's leaving his family, and he's got a wife, a loving wife, and a loving son who looks up to him and idolizes him. So, as with the horses, I'm like, dead meat.
Exactly.
I just want to point out, I am shocked because I opened the IMDb right now, and I see who is playing Jack Peters, that's his name, his son. I can't believe it. It did not look like him. I was like, holy cow.
Who?
It's Lance Kerwin. You probably don't remember him.
No.
But he was a young teen actor, like in the early. He was in Salem's Lot, the original Salem's Lot TV show.
You know
show.
What? I recognize him as an adult. I just clicked on him.
He was in James at 16, a TV series. Boy Who Drank Too Much. That's the one you remember.
Yeah. he was the boy who drank too much?
No, I think he was. That was Scott Baio, right?
Yeah, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
And he was the friend who I guess tries to help him.
Nice.
But wow, he looks so different.
So
in this TV, they're so young.
I'm gonna play the scene where we hear about, what is the character's name? I'm sorry.
Jack Peters.
Yeah, we're gonna hear Jack Peters talking to his wife, and they have a nice little banter going back and forth. But here it goes. By the way, Charles is walking with these floppy boots, and his soul is just shot.
They're just coming apart.
Yes.
Look, I've got to be going, love, that's all.
His shoes look a lot like beef jerky. That's whenever I see them. It's like, wow, it's so worn out.
All right. One more time can't hurt, Peg. I'll be careful.
That'll be the day. You blow yourself to bits. More like it. See if I care.
You'd care. I know you would. But I'll be coming back to the farm for the rest of my life. You. Can you manage the farm while I'm gone? Or will you have to hire help?
Never hire help. I could manage this farm as good as you. Maybe better.
Oh.
All right, then. How about it?
All right. Let's go. Oh, let's go.
Come on.
Let's go.
Come on.
Hey. You take good care of your mother while I'm away. Understand?
Yep. Yeah,
long story short, he says goodbye. And he runs into Charles on the way and gives him a nice piece of like licorice or something like that to tie around his boot.
It's a piece of rawhide.
Oh, yeah, a piece of rawhide.
I don't think that'll stay on his foot the way he ties it on. He just loops it around his foot and thinks that's going to hold it. But there's an interesting banter there. I don't know if you could find that.
Yeah, he's like, I can find
about it. About like 1320 maybe.
Let's see.
Charles Ingalls.
Whoops.
Jack Pitts.
That's right. That's all right. Right there.
This thing tied up with a string, but the string wore out. It's gonna have to flap, I guess.
No, it ain't. That's what I was trying to catch up with you for. Got a piece of raw idea. Ought to hold it for a while.
Hey. Yeah. That's good. Where you heading?
Work.
Same here. I guess everybody is.
Suppose.
That'll hold it. All I can give you is my thanks.
And your companionship.
You got it.
And they just look at each other laughing.
Right, and your companionship. How about we step behind the tree there?
It was 1874. So the next scene is Carolyn goes out to the fields, and she's looking at all this fallen wheat.
Right now, so, I mean, we can just skip around because these plots happen parallel to each other. So Caroline, I don't know if you want to start looking for this clip.
Mm-hmm.
Organizes all the women because they're going to try and harvest the wheat themselves.
I love the women.
And look, I admire Caroline for doing this, but my question is, why didn't Pa, the farmer, think of this? You know what I mean? I don't understand. Like, what is the light bulb that goes off?
Going,
I don't even understand.
We could pick it up.
But they got to pick it up, then they got to beat it, and then dry it out. But again,
well,
I'm like,
big deal, you know?
And they're doing such a great job, and I'm like, why wouldn't Pa have come up with this?
So here's the women talking. I did jump over a lot of stuff. I'm going to go back to.
Yeah, we'll go back. We'll go back.
But here we go. By the way, there's more women I think that even could live in this town. There are about a dozen women, all these bonnets, and they're all just kind of hanging out, feeling bad for themselves.
And they,
They
work in the fields, dressed up like that, with the bonnets, with heavy dresses on. I'm like, ladies, just take off your clothes.
Take it all off.
Just, I don't know how they do it in the sun.
And you know what else? How come it's only Laura and Mary that are there? Where's everyone's kids? So here we go.
Morning, ladies. Ladies, may I have your attention, please? Well, I'm glad so many of you could come. I thank you for it. We all have the same problem, feeding our families next winter. And you've shown by coming here today that you think we'll all fare better if we work together. Does anybody want to say anything?
Yes, I do. I'd like to say that I don't think it'd be sensible to try and harvest any of that wheat, if that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, my sakes, it's all lying flat on the ground.
I know it's lying flat on the ground. I didn't say it would be easy to harvest it.
Easy? Gracious, I just don't think we can.
We can, if we want to badly enough.
How?
We'll have to go into the fields, pick up a few stalks at a time by hand, rake some of it, put it into sheaves so that it will dry out, then thresh it.
And how do you expect to thresh that wheat?
the same way Ruth did. And she gleaned until even, and then she beat out that she had gleaned.
I don't know what she's talking about here.
And winnowing.
Biblical.
I'm assuming Bible, yeah.
Yeah.
We have to decide now. Shall we put it to a vote with a show of hands? All those in favor.
And the majority's in favor, except for this one woman.
Thing. There's always one. There's always
I don't
one.
Know. It'd be nice to just sit at home and complain.
Now, my other question was, because there's no payoff to this, they do harvest it. So I guess they're harvesting it for themselves, and she's going to divvy it up amongst all these women, or are they going to sell it?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting.
I just don't know. There's no payoff. At the end of the episode, it's all about Pa.
Yeah.
Returning home, but like not like, oh, look what Ma did, and she's supporting the family now. And
right, or like, wow, it's a good thing that you made money, Pa, because that little project didn't work. It's like now we have fleas everywhere because of this stuff. You know. So yeah, we basically have Jack and Charles walking miles upon miles together, the BFF now, and we get to where they're camping out, you know, and
they're joined by yet another fellow.
But they seem like they're having a pretty good time in comparison, don't you think?
Yep, I mean, they bond pretty quickly in this day and age.
I mean, and they're camping out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it could be a black bear right behind them. They're like, eh.
They're making stew.
Smoking his pipe.
They're getting ready.
Living life. But here we go.
Tastes great. Smells great. A smell like this on the wind will bring the bears out for a mile, maybe more.
Hello. My name is Jacob. Is it all right? I share your fire.
Sure enough. Come on, sit down. My name is Charles Engels. That's Jack Peters.
Mr. Engels? Mr. Peters?
How about something to eat?
No. No, thank you. I had food.
We got plenty.
Take it.
What do you think, Jack?
Hungrier than we were. Because he is hungrier.
Come on. Join us. Just gonna go to waste. Unless you can figure out a way to put stew in your pocket.
Thank you.
Now, do you know what this other guy was in? Not Jack Peters, but
Rick Hurst?
Yeah, Rick Hurst.
He was in Dukes, right?
Yeah, he played Cletus.
Oh, that was his name.
Yeah. So I couldn't nice. Really place him until I got to the end of this episode, and I was like, that's it, you know. But he did a lot of stuff, you know. He
was a TV perennial.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking on here, and he was in Kojak, Gunsmoke, Happy Days,
Six Million Dollar Man.
Super Train he was in?
He was in Super Train. An episode.
You know, he was in a lot of stuff. Going Ape.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
He made it into other Michael Landon things here and there, like Highway to Heaven. And I think he's still with us.
Is he? Yeah, he's still not working, sadly.
Yeah, what was the last thing he did in 2012? He... Return of the Killer Shrews.
Nice.
Eek.
But yeah, he's definitely a familiar face. The other guy, Jack Peters, whose real name is Don Knight, apparently, you know, according to his IMDb, he's done lots of TV as well.
Yeah.
But I don't recognize this guy for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't look even a little familiar to me.
And the one thing I might know him from, the Swamp Thing movie, I don't remember him in. So I have no idea. But it seems like he was in TV, like, throughout the 70s. But
yeah.
I just don't recognize him. And that's the one thing, like, these guys come in with their accents, which are, like, kind of so phony. Like, I don't know what was his name? Jake? I don't know where he's supposed to be from.
Sweden.
But he could. Is it okay? But his accent.
Jacob Jacobson.
His accent goes really comes and goes, but at least Jack Peters can keep up the accent, however obvious it is.
So I'm going to play the rest of this clip where basically.
They're just going to become a trio. Oh, no, actually, something really important here happens as well.
Yeah, the shoes come into factor.
Yes, yes.
You cook, I'll clean up.
I don't think you're going to have to clean up.
It's like a regular Three's Company here. Charles is taking off what's left of his boots.
Woo! They smell. Woo!
My dog's barking.
Hey, fit those boots, you are same as barefoot.
All right, but they're the only boots I've got.
I tan height. Make boots at night after farm work. Bring 2 pairs to sell. Right away, got custom.
They're fine looking boots. Fit me like they were made for me.
Yeah.
I can't pay for.
Someday.
Someday.
Are you men dead set on working harvest? There's going to be a lot of men looking for a few jobs, you know? You may not find one.
Well, we don't have much choice.
Would you work in a quarry? Mining hard rock? That's where I'm going. I know the boss well enough to get you a shot at a job. Ever do any double jacking?
What's that?
A double jack's a sledgehammer. You swing it with both your hands. You hammer a drill in the rock, and you make holes to put the dynamite in. It's risky. It's hard work.
It's crazy, right? How nerve-wracking is this? I mean, it's just nuts, and that's what makes this episode so worthwhile.
If this was a two-parter, I would have been like, someone's going to get clonked on the head. Charles is going to kill somebody. Somebody's going to hit Charles's hands.
I think, doesn't Charles end up having a bandage on one of his hands at some point?
I don't think so.
I could have sworn he did. We'll look for it. But, so we're going to go to, let's go to where they get to the quarry, basically.
Okay.
And
they got to test their metal.
So he basically convinces to hire these two guys. Well, Jack convinces the owner to hire them as long as they can
do the drill. Hammering. Yeah.
So
I would not trust you to hammer while I hold. I'm sorry. I would not trust myself to hammer while you hold.
I have to be honest. I wouldn't really care if I'm holding the hammer.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, if I miss, it's just your hand. Yeah, it's just like, I don't care. But, all right, here we go.
Until you get your tools in your hand and the work is that way.
Yes, Tom. Yes, Tom. We're going, Tom.
Fire in the hole! Fire in the hole!
So, yeah, they're real dynamite in this. I think I might have passed the part. Where they were drilling, but I can't seem to find it.
It's kind of a visual thing anyway, with just them hammering, and then they have to switch positions, and Jacob has to hammer, and while Charles looks worried, but they get the gig, is the main point. And they're working in this quarry, and they're bonding, all of them are bonding.
But you know, it is pretty crazy the explosions that exist in this particular episode.
I'm gonna talk about the big one because I'm not really sure what the hell happens, but we'll get there.
Okay, but
this
is basically what it sounds like. I'm gonna say it's a good 12-pound sledge going against maybe a half an inch diameter steel spike.
Yeah, that is a pretty big spike.
And you see Charles' hands, and it's basically all bloodied and calloused. And it's basically this. Ding, 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 ding. Just to drill holes. All replaced by a simple drill. And I'm not sure what exactly, what kind of quarry this is. He said it, but I didn't understand what his accent.
Yeah, I think they're, what was it, that they blow up the rocks and they transport it to the train, and the train takes it somewhere.
To the rock farm.
This is actually a prison camp.
So yeah, I mean, they're getting better and better and better, and basically, here we go. Let's see what this part is. There's a little banter between the two.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
A little water.
Yeah, and Charles, his hand's bandaged because they're bloody and calloused. That's why.
Okay.
How is your hand?
Just a little stiff, that's all. Forget it.
I worry I do it worse next time.
If you want to worry about the drilling contest. Now we're going to win it.
Us?
Us.
You think we can?
$50 in prize money split between us. We gotta win it.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, they're not the fellas. Pretty good.
We're pretty good, too. I'm getting better every day.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, I always use this particular episode whenever people complain about things. I would use it as a joke saying, well, Charles Ingalls walked 100 miles for work.
100 miles to be a double jack.
Yeah, seriously. What's another worthwhile
clip?
Yeah, clip. What do you think?
Well, you know, the entire episode, again, we're all waiting for something.
It's a lot of dink, dink,
someone,
dink.
Someone is going to get it. Who is it going to be? Is Charles going to be injured? He can't support his family. Is it going to be Cletus? Is it going to be Jack? And Jack, they keep focusing on Jack as he's very lovable. Like, there's one episode where he throws, I guess it was just a fuse into the outhouse, and he's telling people to get out.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be lovable.
But he's a wild card.
Right. And then there's a sequence where Jack talks about missing his family. I don't know if you want to play that. And that's where I knew. You know, if I didn't already, in terms of we see him with the family, whereas with Cletus, he just talks about, oh, I have a kid, or I might have a kid. I don't know. It wasn't born when I left, and I have to go back.
Now, which clip is it that you want me to play with?
It would be like 26:53 for me. So, Ed, like maybe 27:40 or so. They're lying down again, or they're just sitting, lounging in their shack.
Yeah, I think that's much later on. Yeah, I got
it's like
it.
20. Okay.
It's funny because it's we have to try to prevent this in the future. But yeah, yep. I'm up to 31.
Really?
Yeah.
It should be like 20.
No, I'm pretty sure this is the scene.
Okay.
What's the matter, Charlie? Nothing, just thinking. About home and the wife and the kids. I just about finished supper now. Dishes done. Three little girls will be getting ready for bed.
I miss my Ellen, too.
My Peg is a scrapper. I miss that. She'd have to be married to you. She's always giving me what for, you know. Don't change me shirt. Don't change me socks.
or ever come home late for supper. You know what they're like. I miss her. Miss my lad. You got any children, Jake?
I don't know.
You don't know?
My Eleanor. Maybe I have baby now. Before I get home, for sure.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a shame you can't be with her.
Rub it in, Charles.
I am with her. In my heart. All of the time.
Charles cries.
Of course he does. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, he looks like Rob Reiner, by the way, I just realized. Cletus.
With that balding head, but he's got the long hair in the back.
It's like covering his ears and stuff.
It does look like a meathead look.
let's see. Well, I mean, there's not that much that goes on. The women basically thrash. We have some, we have Mal time. You want to do Mal?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't use that, but go ahead. I mean, Charles is writing letters home, and Jack is writing letters home.
Well, we see is his name Pete?
Jack Peters.
Yeah, Jack Peters. His wife appears in Walnut Grove for the first time ever to get the mail.
Tuesday was mail day. We had to work just like any other day. But on Tuesday, the work had to wait until the mail came. If there was any.
I'm Mrs. Eleanor Jacobson. Have I got a letter, please?
And, you know, Charles sent home, like, a lot of cash. And it's just, like, kind of crazy to send that much money in the mail, right?
Especially that mail system.
Seriously.
I hope he wrapped it in paper.
Doesn't look... Well, one sheet. Here's the heartwarming letter from Charles.
Dear family, I was just saying to one of my new friends that 100 miles is not a long distance. Except when it lies between you and the ones you love.
You old softy.
I visit with you each day in my thoughts, and I count the hours until we can be together again. Take good care of each other. Know that I am well, and love you all very much. Charles.
Very sweet.
Then there's one to Jack's wife as well.
Oh, there was?
If you go right after that.
Well, Pa's all right. Now we have to get back to work. Come on.
Oh, look at that. He spelled the very first word wrong, D-E-R-E, dear. And one G in Peggy.
Spelling. Spelling's for girls.
You're going to learn how to spell.
I'd rather be like Pa.
Why, because he can't spell?
No, because he's the best. The best powder monkey this side of the Mississippi. Yeah.
Spelling's for girls. Oh, my God, I should isolate that. That's so funny. Spelling's for girls.
So Jack is the one who sets the dynamite, and when Charles and Cletus have the contest, the hammer contest, which they win,
mm-hmm.
Jack is helping them. You know, he's just happy for them, and they're celebrating. And I don't know what he's doing or what happens, except
now, this is what I think. I mean, he keeps on saying that the TNT is completely stable.
Right.
Unless you have the fuse
on
in
it. You could bounce on it,
but
whatever.
As far as I know, It's not stable.
Well, that's what I don't understand. I thought you needed to put the fuse in and light it for it to blow up. That's what, you know, as I said in the beginning, he sort of goes over what he does and he says, see this stick of dynamite? You can jump on it, drop it, whatever. Nothing will happen.
And he's sticking it down his pants.
Yeah, right. And then you just put the fuse in and that's when you... So I just don't get...
Well, did you ever see Lost?
I hated that show.
But did you ever watch it?
I did, yes.
There was a particular scene where they find a bunch of dynamite and it's old, so it's swelling.
Right.
And they have to carry it out very carefully and they don't. And it basically blows up.
Oh.
So I have to look into whether dynamite is actually an unstable...
Like it goes bad after it has an expiration date?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
But, I mean, it's just gunpowder. So I don't really know what could have happened. But I have the scene queued up where he blows himself up, which is where he's all the way on the top of kind of a mound of rocks. And Charles and the other guy are just down there kind of watching. So,
yep. Well, they're all happy because they just won the contest.
They won $25 each. Jeez. So here's the scene.
That's right!
Hard rock miners, right?
Right!
You were lucky, that's all! Aha! A real hard rock miner wouldn't let you carry his...
Donny Osmond could have been Pa. That's all I'm saying. I think he could have pulled it off. But, you know, it is... I mean, it could be that they just accidentally blew him up.
I don't know. So he was doing something. He was fiddling with something, but nothing was lit.
I was looking at the explosion where it came from, and granted, you know, this is a TV show, so we're not really sure. The explosion seems to come from underneath.
Or in front of, right?
Like, but he turns around to walk away.
Slow-mo.
With this particular player, I can't, but it's... either way, he's dead. And that's where it gets really kind of sad, because...
Charles has lost his buddy.
Yeah, so, all right, they're done, they made their money, they're going home now.
So now it's payday, right? And Cletus and Charles are collecting their money from the guy. And here's the opportunity for Charles to say, oh, here's for the shoes that I'm still wearing that you made for me that I should pay you back for. That doesn't pay off either.
Right, I'm looking for the...
But then Charles goes to, you know, Cletus goes to his house and discovers he does have a baby.
Well, here is the thing, by the way. I'm just going to play the part where the guy pays out the money and basically leaves it up to them to get the money to the widow.
Thanks for a good job. And here's your 25 for winning the drill off. And Jack Peters' pay. Say a word to his wife for me when you give it to her, will you?
I'll do it. What to do with that money?
Yeah, I mean... Let me just put it in my bag to keep it safe.
Everybody's so damn honest on this show.
Yeah. You know, Charles is really just wants to whisper, halfsies? I kept expecting more explosions for whatever reason. The way the shots and everything are lined up, it seems. So, yeah, Jacob gets home and he sees that his wife is holding a child.
Thank you. Well, go on. What are you waiting for?
By the way, Charles is the nicest house out of these three. I'll wake up the baby.
Right.
So we get on to Peter's.
Jack Peter's house. And you mentioned something earlier about where Jack said something and Charles said something as if to rub it in. And I felt that way in this scene where Charles is consoling Lance Kerwin, who's just lost his dad, and this strange man who he doesn't know is talking to him.
Right. So here's that clip. I just also want to say, I think he refers to him as son, right? Which I think is kind of weird.
I only live about 10 miles from here. I might stop by and see how you're getting along every once in a while. Huh? Well, maybe you and your mom could come out and visit me and my family sometime. Got a lot of good fishing around our place.
All right, Mr. Ingalls. We'll come over. Don't know just when. Now my pa died, got a lot of work to do.
He didn't call him son, sorry.
So think about that. That guy, that boy, aside from being, you know, practical, he's like, I got a lot of work to do. He's now condemned to a life of not learning how to spell. And he's just going to be working the field. He's not going to school. He's got to take care of his mom.
Spelling's for girls.
But then, you know, again, the end of the episode.
Yeah, don't be sad because he's going home to his family and nothing happened.
But you can come by if you want, but just don't come Monday through Friday.
Let us know.
Send a letter.
And that's, of course, Charles getting back together with his family. They all come out. The dog's jumping around.
So they must be doing pretty well at this point financially. Like, Charles has at least $25. He's, you know, that's just from the contest, whatever he made with the hammering.
There's Ma no has done reference something. To the wheat. Nothing.
Yeah, Ma has done something with that. Either they're going to have crackers all summer, all winter, or they sold it and got some cash that way.
You know, this was a very somber episode, but I think it was a good episode.
It was a good episode, but it's, you know, it's missing Nellie.
Yeah.
It needs Mrs. Olsen.
Yeah, we need like a goofy Willy comment. Come on, Ba!
These early episodes were really, like you say, you know, very serious.
Wishy-washy, even.
And I'm hoping that we're going to do at least a couple of more, you know, fun episodes.
Absolutely.
I'll pick the next ones.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do if we're even stepping into season two next.
Maybe.
I think it would be a good idea to travel a little bit.
Do you know, I was thinking, I just want to say, I was, when I was traveling, I turned on the TV, and it wasn't Hallmark, it was some channel called, I don't know, I think it's called Inspiration or something, and they were showing an episode of Little House, The New Beginning, and it had, at first I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Is that
was
where that, the Wilders, like, living in a city, maybe?
No, they're still in Walnut Grove, and the Olsons were part of this. And apparently the Olsons had adopted a daughter that looks just like Nellie.
Right, Nancy.
Nancy. And she, I know, Nancy runs away, and I thought, oh, that must be Nellie's daughter. But it wasn't. It was just Nellie visiting. And I don't know, the acting in this episode was just terrible. And I was like, I really miss...
No, well, you know, Nancy's in later episodes where the show is still good.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, in legitimate Little House, you know, not like any type of offshoot.
Are we able to jump around like that? Like that?
Sure. Why not?
Go to the end.
You want to see that last episode.
I am kind of curious what happens.
But don't you?
I really don't know.
You
really
need to, like, work up to that, too, don't you? I mean, you're not totally done with all of the seasons.
No, I am not. And besides that, you're talking about a final episode, but weren't there, like, specials afterwards? Like, you know, maybe they had a Christmas special, or I think they had movies.
Yeah, I'm going to Melissa Gilbert's filmography, because I would imagine she would be involved in literally everything. And here we go. All right, from 83, we got Little House, The Last Farewell, which was a TV movie of 84, which is what I think is the episode where they blow up everything.
Okay.
There was also Little House Bless All the Dear Children from the same year. You know, I'm not seeing anything. Unless it was called something else. I'm into the mid-90s now.
Alright, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you know what? We can ask the people over at the Facebook group.
Or we can get Chris Cooling on here.
Chris Cooling will know off the top of his head what the deal is. And, yeah, next episode we're going to try out a few episodes with Chris Cooling. Hopefully it works out, man.
All right.
But Chris, thank you very much for getting together tonight.
All right, we'll see you on the next episode.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
It's free.